did anybody not have the new price list of the books? That isn't in there, but if you don't have one, raise your hand and we'll give you one. Raise your hand and you'll get one. Okay, raise your hands. The books are going up in price because we haven't raised the prices of the books since we started. So with paper prices and everything going up, we felt that this was a good time to raise the prices. The second thing I want to announce is beginning this Tuesday, April 16th, on every Tuesday until December 17th, we will be meeting here in the library for a Bible study. We're starting on the Book of Revelation, so that anybody who isn't familiar with the Book of Revelation, we will be starting there. That's this Tuesday from 10 o'clock to 11:30 a.m. Okay?
Oh, thank you. Can we pass some notes?
Thank you. Sure, thank you.
Okay. Now, the next thing you will notice is you all have a sheet like this. All right, would you turn to that, please? And trace with me the footsteps of Jesus as his walk to Golgotha. At the bottom of the page here, you will see footsteps coming into Jerusalem. This is Jesus' trip from Bethany to Jerusalem. They go up here to the upper room. From the upper room, they go out again onto the Garden of Gethsemane. From the Garden of Gethsemane, followed step number 3, they come back into the house of Annas. And then from Annas, they go to Caiaphas. Then from Caiaphas, they go from there to Pilate. From Pilate, they go back to, Herod. From Herod, they go back to Pilate. And from Pilate, then they go to Calvary, which is number 7, and that follows all the way up to the top of where Golgotha is. It's a known fact that Jesus went through 6 trials the night of his arrest. He went through 3 Jewish trials, and he went through 3 Roman trials. The next page that you have is a synopsis of all the times and the scriptures that are on there, and the arrows follow where Jesus went, at what time. The last page that you have, some of you might debate on if Christ was not crucified on Friday. It's a known fact that he was crucified on Wednesday. And from Wednesday, it goes to on Friday. So this will help to explain that. So now we come to the blood seminar. And you will need the rest of the pages to follow through. The blood is a token of our salvation. By the way, you all have a red sheet, a little red thing. That's a note that you put up over your door. It's a token, it's a witness that the blood is a testimony over your house. All right? So, the blood is the power that destroys Satan's power. It's a cure, the blood is a cure for all sicknesses and all diseases. It's a cleansing of your sin. It is the proof of the Father's love for you. The blood gives us the power and authority that we have over the enemy. It is the blood that gives you that. So now we go to, and if you will turn there with me, Leviticus 17:11. Okay, can you hear now? You can't hear? I did. She can't hear in the back.
Mic's not on.
Well, you might want to move up here then.
You
can hear me now? Okay. All right, Leviticus 17:11. It isn't in your papers, you'll have to follow along. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Now what God is saying here is the blood of Jesus cleanses you two ways. It cleanses the blood of your physical body so that you are without sickness and disease, and it cleanses the blood of your spiritual body so that you are without sin. Now we go to Genesis 3:15.
Here's
your doll.
This is in
the garden. Adam and Eve have just sinned. They've broken God's rule. And now God is saying, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Meaning that Jesus, this is the annunciation of Jesus, that Jesus would come, that he would have dominion over Satan, that he would take away Satan's authority. Satan's head and authority is what is meant by bruise his heel. So Jesus is going to have dominion over Satan. Then we go to Genesis 15. This is important for us to all get into really why Jesus came. So in Genesis 15, we have God making a covenant with Abraham. In Genesis 15, the word of God comes to Abraham, and it says in verse 9, take me a heifer. God is saying to Abraham, you take a heifer for me. Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nations whom you shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall I come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river of the Euphrates. Now, I want to tell you that verse 18, the smoking lamp and the burning furnace were God the Father and Jesus the Son. The covenant was made between God the Father and Jesus the Son. So you and I come in under that covenant. We come in behind Jesus. So that when you sin, you step out of fellowship with the Father. You have broken fellowship with him, but the fellowship remains intact because it is between the Father and the Son. Now, the 430 years that God was talking about here is after Abraham, we come to Joseph, and Joseph was taken as a slave into Egypt. He went into Egypt as a slave, and there his people, he went in as a slave, and there his people gradually became a slave under the Pharaohs. They were there for 430 years. The day that the Israelites came out of Egypt was exactly to the day 430 years. So now we go to Exodus 12:41. Exodus 12:41. Beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this is the month, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Now it happens that this month was the last month of the year. God is changing it to be the first month of the year, meaning Abib or Nisan. So this is the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now God is ordaining here the first Passover. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house, a house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Those of you that are claiming salvation for your family, you can use this scripture, a lamb for a house. So you can mark that down. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take in according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This is the day that, this is signifying the day that Jesus would die for the sins of us. He died for the sins of many. At exactly 3 o'clock p.m., Jesus died. He gave up the ghost. It was exactly at 3 o'clock that all the lambs were being sacrificed in the temple. The blood was being caught, the blood would be caught, and the blood would be given back to the Father, who would carry the lamb on his shoulder. He would carry the lamb and the blood back to his house, and to be put the blood on the doorposts of the house. The doorposts are the top of the door and the two sides, signifying a cross. So this is the first cross. Now, they shall kill it in the evening. They killed it in the evening means you have to realize that with God, his days begin in the evening. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So God's days begin at 6 o'clock p.m. until 6 o'clock p.m. the next day. So when we have our day, we begin our day at 6 o'clock a.m., so we're always either a day ahead or a day behind God, whatever that is. But they shall take of the lamb at exactly 3 o'clock. The lambs were being slain was the time that Jesus died. Now we go to Numbers 33:3. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day. This is when they are departing Egypt. On the first month of the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. So now you have the first Passover. Leviticus 17:11, we already did that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Matthew 26:28. In Matthew 26:28, Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of your sins." Without the blood, there is no remission of sins. It is because of the shed blood of Jesus that we have remission of our sins, that our sins are all forgiven. Ezekiel 18:4 says, God says, "All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Romans 6:23. When man fell, death came upon to all mankind, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Peter 1:18-19. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation and the tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ also cleanses us. He cleanses us from all our sins. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ also cleanses us. He cleanses us from all sin. God says, "I will forgive your iniquity and I will remember them no more." Turn with me to Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established. This has to do with the trial of Jesus. They searched and searched for two witnesses that weren't honest, but two witnesses that said this is why they searched for the two witnesses. Deuteronomy 25:3. Deuteronomy 25:3. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto you. This is why Jesus was only given 39 stripes. They were made to bend over a pole. I'll get into that later. But they were to count the stripes because they couldn't go over 40 stripes. This is why Jesus was beaten the way he was.
Why couldn't it go over 40?
Pardon me?
Why couldn't it go over 40?
Why couldn't it go over 40? Because in case they missed a stripe, they always went one less.
Okay.
If they went 40 and they missed one, he would have been given 41. So they stopped at 39, giving themselves leeway of one stripe.
Why couldn't they give 40?
Because they started numbering with the stripes. If they gave 40, it says you couldn't give 40 stripes or more because then it would be considered vile and the man would be turned against. Then we'll go to Deuteronomy 21:22. And this is why Jesus was taken off the cross the same day on which he was buried. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you shall in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. This is why Jesus had to be taken off the and buried that same day. So now we go to your sheets that you have. In the garden, the first sheet that you have is marked sweat.
Marked what?
Sweat.
Sweat. Okay, thank you.
All right. This was in the garden. Jesus sweat many tears, because the blood, it was a thing called hematidrosis, and that's at the top of the page of you see. Hematidrosis was under tremendous pressure. Emotional stress causes capillaries in the sweat glands to break and mix with the blood. This process alone can produce noticeable weakness, physically, even shock. So this is why Jesus went into the garden and he sweat tears of blood. The three columns that you have here are the things that we have as a result of his sweating. This is what we are redeemed from. So notice that they're all sorrow, oppression, depression. They all have to do with the mind. Any of these three columns that you are going through, the price has been paid. Jesus has paid the price for you. You don't have to have it.
Amen.
They all three suggest a battle of the mind. When Jesus was walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, he kept saying, "My soul is heavy, my soul is heavy, my soul is very heavy, I'm likened to die." He was getting heavier and heavier because, as it seems, the devil was dealing with Jesus and getting him to think about how he was going to be separated from the Father. This was the only time in Jesus' life that he was separated from the Father. He was always with the Father. I and my Father are one. The words that I speak, they're God's words. What I do, God tells me to do. So what the devil was dealing with him with, you are going to be separated from the Father. This is the first time that you will be by yourself. Jesus had all that weighing and weighing and weighing, and it stands to reason that the first fear, the first thing that came, the first emotion that came into the Garden of Eden was fear. So it stands to reason that the last thing that he would use on Jesus would be fear. And so he did. So now we have, after those scriptures, you have the face. I wrote down for you all the scriptures of face and cheeks and beard, buffet, smite, and spit. All of those things, a lot of those didn't bring blood, but they spoke of Jesus and all that he went through. They plucked his beard out. They literally ripped it out. They beat him. They hit him with their fists. Now down below, below the spit, you have a list of five things. Smite means to give or blow with a hand, fist or weapon, or to strike with a rod. Blow, it means to hit with a rod or staff or with an open hand. Strike means hit with a staff or rod with an open hand. Buffet means strike with a fist under the eye, strike a part of the face until it is black and blue. Now you can imagine what Jesus went through when his face was all distorted. He wasn't even recognizable as a man. To pluck means to rip off or tear out. To spit represents shame, disgrace, and humiliation. I have there Numbers 12:14, Miriam. When Miriam was banned from the camp, for turning against Moses. She was sentenced to go out of the camp for a certain amount of days. God said to Moses, would it be that do you think that if a man had struck Miriam on the face, spit in her face, it would have been a shame to her. Yet if I did it, it would be more of a shame. This is why Miriam was sent out of the camp, because she had a shame for her for shaming Moses. So she was struck out of the camp, and then by Moses' intercession, she was healed of the stripes of the leprosy. So now you have the crown. Thorns are a curse that came upon the earth in Genesis 3:15. All the curses of Deuteronomy 28, 27, and all the curses in the Bible were included in the crown. We have received the blessings and the blessings of Christ rather than the curses, because the curses were in the crown. The curses can be inherited from generation to generation. Now, this is something that most people don't realize, but you realize that the blessings of Abraham can be brought down to our generation. If the blessings can be brought down, so can the curses. So the curses have to be broken. You have to break the curses with the blood of Jesus. So you have to do that, because if you don't, a curse can come and will be allowed to continue on down in your family. For instance, if there is someone who drinks or has drunk, that curse can go on down and on down and on down, and we don't think anything of it, but it is a serious thing, and it can keep you out of heaven. We have to realize that.
I thought it was up to the third and fourth generation.
No, they can go on forever. If we can receive Abraham's blessings, we're how many generations past Abraham? So can the curses continue. So there you have the crown. And at the bottom of the page you have, we are redeemed from desolation, forsakenness, destruction, defeat, and failure, mocking, dishonor, mental pain, suffering caused by others, rejection, scorning, hatred, prejudice, humiliation, mental and emotional breakdown. Now I want to explain to you about the scourge. First of all, I have here a whip. You're welcome to come up and see these afterwards if you like. In a Jewish court, when Jews were scourged, they were hit 39 stripes. They were hit 15 times on here, 15 times on here, and the rest of the time on their back. But in a Jewish scourge, there were many more stripes. There were more than three. This only has three. But there could be as many as 12. And in the scourge were pieces of glass and bits of bone, sharp pieces, that when the scourge would come down over somebody, it would come down. With great force. And it would be hit upon them. These thorns would wrap around the body. They would hit the legs, they would hit the thighs, they would hit the stomach. This is why Jesus said, I'm looking at my bones. I'm looking at my bones, I can see my bones. And there was no part of Jesus that wasn't touched by the scourge. The nail that Jesus, this is an actual nail. That's the size of the nail they put into his hands and his feet. This represents the hyssop, which was put on the doorposts. The blood was put on the doorposts. This is the crown. And you can see the crown, the thorns, how deep they are. These were not little. These would dig into, they're very sharp, dig into his scalp. So that the picture that you see of Jesus on the cross isn't really the picture that they saw. and the picture of the man who went to the cross for you. The man that went to the cross for you went and he died. He, I want to do this without stabbing myself. So the man who did, who went through all that, went through it for you and for me. It wasn't a pretty picture. Our Jesus was crucified. When he was crucified, after the scourge and after the crown, he went to the cross to be crucified. Now, when they crucified someone, this is how they did it. They would take them to the cross and they would lay the cross on the ground. As they would lay it on the ground, one of the soldiers would put his foot behind Jesus' feet and flip Jesus backward so that he would land on the crossbar. When he landed on the crossbar, of course, his back being raw from being beaten and being bloody would bleed again. So then they would take his arm and they would pull it, both of them, and pound the nail through it so that he would be able to lift himself up a little bit, but not much. His feet were put one on top of the other like this, on top of the little step, and the nail would go down through both feet. As a person hung on the cross, they would be, they couldn't get their breath, and so they would lift up on their feet to get enough of a breath so that they wouldn't be suffocated. But scourging and crucifying really comes to suffocation. So that's what happened. They suffocated in that. The difference between a scourge and a beating is a scourge would be done with cords of leather and a beating would be done with rods. You have scriptures that are for your hands and feet. The scriptures are for hands and feet that were in the thing. And you'll notice that the first one says, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and feet. And then in Zechariah 12:10, they look upon me whom they have pierced, and they mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is the second advent when the Jews will come to recognize Christ. Jesus will be received. So then the next sheet you have is the hands and feet. The scripture for hands and feet are a lot the same. So the middle section where it says take an oath of an office, these are things that our hands are used for. Take an oath of office, lay hands on others when we pray, blessings and healings and so forth. Children are blessed by speaking over them and hands laid on their heads. In marriage, hands are joined and rings are exchanged. In medicine, we have surgeons, dentists, doctors, pharmacists, nurses, everything you can think of. Farmers, harvesters, all occupations like that. Giving to others and helping others, you use your hands. Lifting our hands to the Lord in praise and worship and prayer. Wives and husbands and families, every area of our lives, Joseph prospered in all that he set his hand to. The blood, shed blood of Jesus in his hands was for these things, that you can prosper in whatever you do. You don't have to see yourself a failure. Begin to see yourself the way God sees you and respond to it that way. So then the bottom scripture gives you the feet. He'll not allow your feet to be moved. You'll tread upon the spirits used by Satan. God shall bruise Satan under your feet. You have power over the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You shall trample the enemy under your feet. He's delivered you from fear, and that is a big one. Fear is something that rules most people, even though they are saved. They don't realize it. They don't have to have fear. Fear has no part of you. The Lord gives you peace. He gives you glory. The Lord withholds no good thing from you. We call these things that be not as though they were. We walk in the same steps of faith than Abraham did. We walk free from the law of sin and death. We are not moved by our senses. They are subject to change. And the last thing that Jesus suffered with was the side and the blood. No bone of the righteous shall be broken. So no bone of Jesus was to be broken, so they had to prove that he was dead. And how they did that was they took a spear and they stuck it into his side, and out came blood and water. So that we have the scripture in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The water and the blood is the reconciliation brought back together again by God, with God, remission of sins, cleanse of impurity. It is the blood that takes away the sin. It is the Holy Spirit that connects and convinces us that we need Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit and that brings us to the point we are with Christ. Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth as to be a propitiation. A propitiation is God's wrath appeased. So Jesus was set forth, he shed his blood so that God's wrath would be appeased to us for our salvation. And the last page that you have is the scripture it gives you the side, the blood, and the bones. And at the bottom, it's removing from the cross. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death and he is put to death, you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance. And what you have in the side is the last page. Salvation, you have forgiveness. Regeneration, you have the new birth and the Holy Spirit. You have cleansed from impurities. Pardon, you are remission of your sins. You are redeemed. You are brought back into fellowship with the Father. You are sanctified. You are separated from sin and set aside for the Lord's use. You have wisdom, which is direction from God, cleverness, and skill. You have righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God, and it gives you the authority to take authority over the enemy. It's righteousness that gives you that authority over the enemy. And the last thing is, you are whole. You are complete in every area of your life.
Amen.
You have a question?
You said the water and the blood depicts reconciliation?
Water and blood depicts the reconciliation.
Right.
Reconciliation. Can you explain that
again? It.
Pardon?
Explain it.
It is when Jesus, we are washed by the water of the Word. The water of the Word and the righteousness of God are in the blood of Jesus. So when the blood was shed, the water and the blood gives us that reconciliation, gives us that propitiation of sins from God. Okay? Now I'd like you all to take your word works. Turn to page 87. At 85. And I'd like you to read with me. In the name of Jesus. And through the power of his blood.
And through the power of his blood.
We will not be victims of.
We will not be victims of.
Part of.
Part of.
Or witnesses to any crime.
Or witnesses to any crime.
racist or terrorist attacks.
Racist or terrorist attacks.
Acts of violence.
Acts of violence.
Racism.
Racism.
Prejudice.
Prejudice.
Discrimination.
Discrimination.
Bullying or hate crimes.
Bullying or hate crimes.
No weapon formed against us prospers. No harm comes near us and no evil befalls us. Now turn the page and go to 87. The third paragraph down, I cover my home,
all my family,
and all of our possessions with the blood of Jesus. I claim the Father's divine protection upon us from any attacks or spirits of darkness and Satan himself. I bring the power of the blood of Jesus and his mighty name against you to bind you away from everything that concerns us, and I loose the power of the blood and his name to fulfill what the word says. Then turn the page and go to the middle of For Your Children. Satan, y'all find that?
Yes.
Satan, I hold his blood against you and your demons of darkness that have lodged in my child's body, mind, and life. Jesus has already defeated you and your demon spirits. I hold that blood against you and your activities in my child. Now you have to flee and turn the page. Page 91. The fourth paragraph down, starting with angels. Angels, you are sent to minister for us as heirs of salvation. You are commanded to keep us in all our ways. Go in front of us, behind, on top of, underneath, on both sides, in and throughout each and every vehicle owned by, operated by, carrying, used by, or even involving any of our loved ones. I cover every vehicle we travel in with the blood of Jesus. Now you go to the next page, page 92, beginning with the third paragraph, in the name of Jesus and with his shed blood, weapons formed against us fail to prosper. We are not victims of, nor are we witnesses to, any violent crimes, random acts of violence, racist attacks, terrorist attacks, drive-by shootings, road rage, hate crimes, negative acts of nature, character assassinations, or trauma. And the next paragraph. I declare and establish in the name of Jesus and with his blood that we have no accidents or injuries, minor, major, or fatal. There will be no flat tires, running out of gas, problems with brakes, batteries, breakdowns, or any malfunctions in any vehicles we are in. There will be no scratches, dents, or scrapes, no cracked or broken windows, windshields, or mirrors. There will be no vandalism, hijacking, carjacking, or theft. No violations or tickets. We leave and return safely.
Amen.
You do those every day. If you do those every day, you will find that the enemy will not tread on your land.
Amen.
But you have to do them. You see, we have to put the word forth for the word to accomplish its purpose. God honors his word above his name. But if we don't speak his word, we are not speaking anything that we give God to work with. So you have to speak it. You have to give God the ability to work in your life. Now, do you have any questions?
Yes.
I appreciate that we should not have fear. But I quote the scriptures and I still have fear. So I'm not doing something.
Then you're speaking them with your mind and not with your heart. The Lord says, believe with your heart, and you shall be saved. It's with your heart that you're saved, not with your mind. You see, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says you have to believe with your heart. so that if you believe with your heart. Therefore, you keep saying every scripture in here on fear, and you say them every day faithfully. God will maintain your right and your cause. He will take over. You will find that one day you have no fear. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody comes upon you and you don't suddenly take a burst of like a panic. You can do that without succumbing to the spirit of fear, because you are not yielding to fear. You are letting fear have its authority over your life. Any other questions?
I notice every time that when Jesus came upon somebody, the first thing that he said for them was to fear not.
That's right.
The first thing he said, you know, when Peter saw him walking on the water, every time he came across a person, the first thing he said was fear not.
That's right.
So we have to put that word in our heart. But what you gave me a couple of weeks ago about when I had the book and I read it all the time, I really hadn't paid that much attention to the conclusion in terms of reading it every day.
Uh-huh.
I was reading other things that pertained to the different issues that I was dealing with. But the conclusion is so powerful because it's a synopsis of everything, and it basically covers everything. So since I started reading the conclusion also every day, I have seen a lot of little changes that I know that will become big ones. So I thank you for that.
Well, let's
read
the conclusion.
So we might want to read that.
Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you something. I do this every day. I have scriptures on every page, and I do it every day. It takes me 2 hours, but I do it faithfully every day. Not because I think I'm better than anybody else, but because I'm putting forth the word, and it means something for God to stand on his word. I give God something to work with. I'm not just saying, well, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm saying what the word says. So let's turn to the conclusion. I am the prophet of my own life. My life today is the result of the word that I have spoken. I refuse to allow yesterday's disappointments and failures to affect my future. I will not let my future be determined by my past. My future is created or destroyed by the words that I speak. My destiny is determined by my words, negative or positive. God honors his word above his name. What he promises, he does. My job is to believe and speak his word, trusting him to bring it to pass. God never disappoints me. I trust him with my whole heart and do not lean to my own understanding. His word never fails. His timing is always perfect. When I speak contrary to his word, I am calling God a liar. God did not create me to be average. Average is the best of the worst and the worst of the best. He created me to be the best and to have the best. I am God's child, created in his image. I am a person of integrity. I am righteous. I do what is right because it is right, honors God, and is what he would do. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in that love, I love others. I forgive as you have forgiven me. I choose to follow your word and honor you. I tithe and you rebuke the devourer for my sake. You open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings that I have room enough to receive. I live to give, and I give because I love. I give to the poor, and I do not lack in any area. I give, and it is given to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I sow abundantly, and I reap abundantly. I reap a hundredfold return on everything I sow, because I sow in love. Your favor, help, provisions, and support surrounds me everywhere I go. Your favor causes me to be in the right place at the right time, every time. Your grace, abilities, capabilities, equipment, power, and anointing is more than enough for me in any situation. Your word that I speak gives a place for your grace to work on my behalf. It enables me to do what I cannot do alone. Your grace brings your glory, your presence, which fulfills the word that I have spoken in that
to what you have promised you do. It does not matter what it looks like, feels like, or what I think about it. Your word is my final authority, my only authority. I know that you, whatever I speak or ask for, in line with your word, you hear and you bring it to pass in my life, because I heed your commandments and my ways please you. I believe your perfect will is accomplished in my life, in my life every day. I praise you, Lord, that you have brought me to this place where there is no lack of anything in my life. My gifts continually make a place for me. You open doors no man can close. I walk in your fullness with nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing needed, and nothing wanted. I thank you that I succeed in everything I set my hands to. I speak your word in faith. I believe and I receive it completed in my life. And I thank you, Lord. Is everybody in here, has everybody in here accepted Jesus to be the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Let's just pray anyway, shall we?
Yes.
Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Say it after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And I come according to your word.
And I come according to your word.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
That I am saved.
That I am saved.
I am your child.
I am your child.
You are my father.
You are my father.
I submit myself.
I submit myself.
To you and your word.
To you and your word.
I am your child.
I am your child.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, is there anybody in here that needs prayer? If you need prayer, come forward and we'll be happy to pray with you. If you don't, we'll just rejoice with you that the word works.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a testimony, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I have many of them. I've been coming to Pastor Shirley's Tuesday Bible class for the past 4 or 5 months.
Stand up so they can hear you. I don't think they can hear you.
I've been coming to Pastor Shirley's Bible class for the past, last 4 or 5 months. And I bought a lot of these books and passed them out. And I was on oxygen twice. And I started reading this twice a day for my specific ailment. And now I'm on. So, and a girlfriend of mine who is here gave me this book, and she got the book in 94, I believe it was. So she gave me the book. She was healed from breast cancer.
Amen.
Another girlfriend of mine, I sent her the book. 2 months ago, she had stage 4 breast cancer. Last Tuesday when I called her, she told me she rang the bell, which means that her breast cancer is gone. And then I have always, my father died when he was 96, and he used to always tell me, whatever you do, if you can get out the house, get out the house. Do not let the house make you a slave. And he would always get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go out. So I get up every day and I go out. Even if I only go to my favorite store, Aldi, I go out. So last Tuesday when I left Bible class, I went to Aldi and a lady came in and she was on oxygen. So I was talking to her and I said, do you mind if I talk to you? And she said, yeah, she had a portable one, and that's why I had a portable one. So she was telling me that, I said, how do you like your portable? And she said, well, it's better than carrying around the cans, which it is. And she was telling me that she was really having a hard time with it. So I told her, I told her my story. I told her how I got off of it. So she was like, really? And I said, yes. So we left and I prayed for her in the store. And I went out in my car. And I sat down and I got ready to leave. And the Spirit told me, do not leave. Stay there till she comes out. Now granted, I'm just going into the store to get out of the house. girlfriend is shopping. So I'm sitting in the car for about an hour, and I keep on saying, I'm going to give her 5 more minutes. I'm going to give her 5 more minutes. So as I gave her 5 more minutes, I said, I'm getting ready to start the car, and she's nowhere around. So Spirit says, 5 more minutes. So I sat there about an hour and 10 minutes. So finally, and I can relate, finally she's coming out on her oxygen, bent over. She's got a lot of stuff. And so I rolled my car up to her. And she says, what are you still doing here? And I said, I have this book to give to you. So anyway, I pulled up, I gave her the book. And she asked me, was I sure that I wanted to give it to her? And I said, yes. So I told her what to do with the book. And she said, let me give you some money. I said, no, you can't give me any money. So I left. But anyway, you know, she came and said, what's your name? What's your name? I said, it doesn't make no difference. Just take the book, you know. So I said, you don't need to know my name. Just take the book. I said, the power ain't in the name, it's in the book. So she says, I am going to read this book. And usually, because I had bought them, I put my telephone number in the book. And I have a library stamp. So all of my books I give away, I use a library stamp as my telephone number. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. My telephone rings. And I'm like, I hope nobody died because I can't do nothing about it, no way. So, you know, I'm like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, that's usually no good news. So this lady calls me screaming, somebody's screaming on the phone. And I'm saying, who is this? So she said, this is Miss Bobo. And I said, who? So she says, I just want you to know that that book that you gave me, I feel better already. And she says, I've turned my oxygen down 2 levels since that book. And that's only been like 3 days. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Betty.
Okay, praise the Lord. Well, we're finished. We finished early. If you want to come up and look at the stuff, you're welcome to. You have a question?
Well, I wondered if you would mind just telling us the paragraphs and the pages that you had us read that you said we do every day. I didn't really make a note of the paragraphs on the pages that you had us read.
Can you give her the pages and the paragraphs of the things that you said to do every day?
She just has to look at the table. Goodness. She just has to look at the table.
You know what? I'll tell you what to do. Open your Word Works and ask the Lord to show you what scriptures mean the most to you. And then just put a little check beside them and then do those every day. That's what I did. I asked the Lord to show me what scriptures mean the most to me. And so that's what he did. He just, I'll go from the beginning to the end. The beginning my day, I always start my day with that because it's very good. So, but that's what I do. So you do the same. Because we won't all have the same scriptures that apply to all of us. But you do the same and it will come to pass.
Yeah, for sure. Amen.
It's the protection of what it means. I read that every day. Thank you. I love that.
What? Which one?
85 to 93, the protection using the blood of Jesus.
I do them. I do almost all of those, protection of the blood.
And it takes you 2 hours? Yeah. 2 hours to read the whole book, surely? I'm going to try to start.
But she adds in. She adds in stuff.
And when you read, I read the verses and the books with it. I noticed that you did. Do we have to read the books and the verses in the Bible?
No, you don't. Because what I've done is I've taken the scripture and made it into a personal confession.
Okay.
So if you were reading the Bible, you would change it into a personal confession. So that's what I do.
Or the verses that are listed are paraphrased.
Right.
So this all
I just read every
preface.
Word and every, right. You know. Right. Thank you.
So you, yes?
Yes, Pastor Grace, you said you're going to be teaching here on Tuesday morning.
Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. I think they should have some papers in the back.
Okay, but you're not doing any report because I'll be working. So that's what I'm trying to see. How could we get a part of that teacher?
Well, I don't know what to tell you because my computer person won't be here. She works on Tuesday too. So what I will do is, if you have a group that needs a Bible study, contact me, and I'll set it up to meet you wherever you are.
Okay.
That will be the best way to do it.
Okay.
Because I can't do anything else. I'm not computer literate.
Okay.
I'm a dummy when it comes to computer. So if you would do that, that would be fine. Any of you that want to have a Bible study, if you let me know what day and what time is best for you when you get a group together, I'll be happy to come to you. That's how my Bible study started. I have one, two, three, several people that have been here to my Bible studies, and that's how they began. So
I will tell you, though, if on that series, Revelation, it is amazing. She's taught it several times, and you can never know everything.
Right.
It's excellent. So to have a group of people, it is well worth it. It's amazing. Really.
Excuse me, what was that you were talking about, Revelation?
That's what she's starting on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
It's the book of Revelation, and it can take weeks to get through it because there's so much material.
Months, right.
It will take a long time because the study is very in-depth and it's excellent. It's excellent.
And we do a Bible study on Daniel. We just finished a Bible study on Daniel. You have to do Daniel before you do Revelation. Because Daniel and Revelation is a continuation of Daniel. But anyway, we're continuing on with Revelation. So it...
Well, one more thing then. Well, did you do, like he gave us information today, did you have information for Daniel? Or we can get that?
Yeah.
Do you have information for that?
I don't have it with me, but I
do
have it.
No, but you do, okay.
Right. I do a lot of sheets like this that are added to it, and you've been to my Bible study, so you can tell
it.
Yes. Yeah. So
we have folders.
Yeah. So okay, that's it. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
When's the next?
Oh, we aren't going to have another seminar through the summer. We keep it with vacations and everything. It would be too difficult, so we're going to start again in the fall. So in September, we'll have the ads in the paper and wherever else. They will be in September.
Another victory.
What is your name?
Another victory.
J-E-A-M-E.
Yes, ma'am.
That's my sister.
Yes.
Worshipcenter.org. It's on the back of your book and on the business cards and on the front of your bags. But why I'm telling you this, this teaching will be available for you to download for 2 weeks after today. Okay? So I'm going to say it's probably not going to be up until this coming Tuesday because we have to get it
I will stay.
For 2 weeks and you can download it and whatever you want to do. We won't be selling this in CD form or this or anything like that. if you could go ahead and just grab or whatever it is that you wanted to.
What's your husband doing?
Just to let you know.
Not me.
Oh, not you?
The one we had today, yes. I'm not sure the other ones that she has.
About 4 years ago.
If we can get those on, we will.
Sharon's friend.
We'll send another one and. Okay, so let me see if we can get that on and we'll go from there.
Was her sister's husband?
Yes.
Okay. Deborah? Did you see that though?
Yes, I did.
I'm not taking that offering.
You know what, she doesn't want to take any offering, but if you want to give something, that's fine. There's things in the back. But she wasn't going to do just an offering. You know what I mean? So, thank you.
Yeah, they have sheets up here. I'll grab
you.
Yes.